The parable today comes from the 25th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to use the translation that's found in your pew Bible. If you'd like to read along with me, it's found on page 28 in the New Testament. The 25th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout. "Look, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. There's a song I'm particularly fond of by a country music duo called The Wreckers. The song is "My Oh My," and it goes something like this. "Times have changed and so have I. I once was young and starry-eyed. Now I have these bittersweet memories. Songs were long and gas was cheap. No cell phones and water was free. Daddy paid and I never had to worry. Not no more. Not no more. My oh my. Look how the time flies. Look how the world changes in the blink of an eye. My, oh my, look how the years have flown. Turning around before you know it, up and gone. Oh my, oh my, oh my." My, how this world has changed. So many things are different, especially from the days of my youth. As the Wreckers put it, songs were long and gas was cheap, no cell phones and water was free. My first car was a 1966 Volkswagen Beetle. It came with all the standard equipment that Beetles came with. It came with a sapphire AM radio push button. It came with a speedometer, an odometer, and it came with a gas gauge. Now, laugh if you will, but that gas gauge, that fuel gauge, was a pretty nice option to have, because up until 1962, Volkswagen Beetles had no fuel gauge. You had a little reserve tank lever that when you felt the car start to sputter, you turned the lever over. So, I had a gas gauge. I had no excuse for running out of gas, but I did. More than once. Now, fast forward to 2017. all the modern cars that we have today. Now, I've been in some of y'all's fancy cars. The ones with the warning lights and the really soft chime that comes on if you get to a certain level on your fuel. Chime. Some of you even have the message centers. Fred, you're about to run out of gas. Turn over and put some in. And you even have those digital range readouts that will let you know just really how much longer you can drive, how many more miles you can drive before you run out of gas. And what happens with all this new, exciting, state-of-the-art systems? You still run out of gas. Based upon statistics from AAA, every year at least 500,000 people call for roadside assistance because they ran out of gas. It ranks right up there behind flat tires, dead batteries, and misplaced keys. Now, it would be understandable 40 years ago when gas gauges really weren't that accurate. You know, it kind of showed that you had something above E, but most of the time you really didn't. But today, it would appear that we have no excuse for running out of gas, yet it still happens. Now, in our parable today, it is olive oil, not gas, that is lacking. And it is oil lamps, not cars, that are empty. But these are not your grandmother's oil lamps. Did anybody notice the front of the bulletin? This is very much what kind of oil lamp Jesus was referring to in the parable. The lamps described in this parable had no glass chimneys, no wicks with adjusting wheels, no glass or oil tank to hold the oil in. We know about those wicks, right? When you turn them up a little too high, what happens? That nice glass, clean glass chimney gets covered with black. No, the lamps used in this parable, the maidens had, were more like large flat bulbs with a rag or a rope-like wick. And this kind of lamp could be held, or could be attached to a pole and used to, what, like an outdoor torch to illuminate one's steps in the darkness. Or in this case, when you're trying to get into a house for a wedding banquet. Again, Jesus is using a wedding to teach his followers a lesson about the kingdom of God. It was just 5 weeks ago that we studied what is traditionally called in the church the Great Wedding Feast. And we learned what happens to wedding crashers who are not properly dressed and prepared for God's great banquet. They are thrown out into the darkness where there is a great gnashing of teeth. Or as Carol Curl says, teeth will be provided to those who have no teeth. Now, in our parable today, we have another wedding banquet, again with some who are welcomed and others who are left outside. And the reason the people are left outside is not because of improper dress, but improper preparedness. Now, the tradition of the church is to call this parable the parable of the wise and foolish maidens. As with all his parables, Jesus used events that his listeners could identify with. Here it's a wedding, and Jesus does a good job of describing the wedding customs in the first century Palestine. Normally, the bridegroom with some close friends would leave his house and go to the bride's house, where they would have the ritual, they would have the wedding service itself, and they would have some celebration there. But then later, the bridegroom with his bride would then leave the bride's house and make his way to his house, where there would be another huge party that would probably last for days. Now, everyone in the procession was expected to carry his or her own torch, and those without a torch would be assumed to be party crashers, and we know what happens to them. But for some reason, the bridegroom and the procession were late arriving to this wedding. Five of the maidens had brought extra fuel in anticipation of just such a delay. And the remaining five seemed to have brought no fuel at all. The delay was so long that they all fell asleep. And then suddenly the cry went out, "The bridegroom is coming. Prepare your lamps." And so the maidens woke up and they started to trim their lamps, yet five of the ten realized that their lamps were going out. They asked the maidens who had brought extra oil to share some of it with them. They refused and told them to go and buy some more of their own. Now, if you're like me, who grew up constantly being reminded of the importance of sharing, you may be thinking, why didn't the wise maidens simply share their oil? It seems that they had plenty. Why not share out of their abundance so that all might have oil in their lamps? Don't be distracted by such questions. Sharing is not the point of this parable. Neither is there anything significant about the number of maidens, 10, or how many were wise or foolish. Well, the ones without oil left to purchase what they needed, and while they were gone, the wedding procession arrived. All went into the wedding banquet, including the five maidens who had faithfully kept their lamps burning. But when the five who had left showed up, they noticed the door was shut. They knocked on the door. "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But then comes this voice from the other side of the door saying, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you." All of us who are former Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts know that both organizations share the same motto. And that motto is, be prepared. Which means that you are always in a state of readiness in mind and body to do your duty. Willingness to serve is not enough. You must know how to do the job well. And its importance is seen that on the Eagle Scout Medal, which is the highest honor a scout can receive, there are simply two words. Be prepared. Be prepared is the message of this parable. And the parables in Matthew just prior to it. All of the parables have to do with what we do and do not know about the coming of Christ at the end of the age. Now, Jesus assures us that we should be able to discern the season of his return. And one indicator of the season is the abomination of desolation and the great tribulation. But while we may know the season and think we recognize some of the signs, we cannot and will not know the day or the hour of his return. So we must do the only thing that we can do, and that is to stay alert and be prepared. So what do prepared people look like? Well, apparently not all that different from the unprepared. If you read the parable, consider the maidens. They were all dressed appropriately. They all had the proper lamps. They were all properly invited to the wedding celebration, and they all came expecting to participate. They all fell asleep, waiting for the groom's arrival. And they were all awakened when the news came that he was close. There was only one difference between the foolish maidens and the wise maidens. The wise had oil in their lamps, and they had a light to shine. The wise were prepared. The foolish, despite having the exact same opportunity to be prepared as the wise, did not prepare. And to this group of maidens, the door was shut. Many may claim to know the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean they truly know him. The difference between those who truly know him and those who don't in this parable is their readiness for his coming. This is the true point of this parable. Jesus is warning us that there will be a number of people who look like Christians, who associate with Christians, and who even think they are Christians, who will be shocked to learn that they are not well prepared to be in the presence of the Lord. There will be many who claim to know the bridegroom, that is Jesus, but do they truly know him? Those that know him will be prepared. Just like the prepared maidens who cared about the task they were given and who were ready to shine their lights when the bridegroom arrived, so must prepared Christians care about what Christ has called them to do, to shine their lights. How is your light shining? Do others see the light of Christ shining in your words and acts? Or have you run out of gas? Well, don't delay. Fill those lamps, because time is getting short. My, oh my, look how the time flies. Look how the world changes in the blink of an eye. My, oh my, look how the years have flown. Turn it around before you know it, up and gone. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Amen.